No, I want to teach you how to take it from others. How's that? That's multiplication. The purpose of our time this afternoon is to give you as a staff an opportunity to input into these plans your ideas or clarify these plans for you. It's just a time of discussion. And we don't want to come around next year when we launch our fund drive and just sort of lay it on the staff and say, okay, this is what we're doing. We want to avoid that. We want to give the staff all over the U.S. an opportunity to help formulate the plan. And so what we have here is simply a draft, some basic ideas, mostly things that we have done in the past, and these things have worked. But it may be that some of you have some ideas that ought to be incorporated into these plans. And we want to give you an opportunity to suggest your ideas. And then we also reserve the right to evaluate those ideas, too, and to accept some, I'm sure, but perhaps not all. I think the thing to do is to breeze through this and get into the mechanics of it, and when we get into that part, we can just take a time for questions as we go through it. The first part is the introduction we have on page one, and I don't think that there's anything in this section that really needs to be elaborated on. We took almost an hour on some of this at staff conference in January at Santa Fe, so this is probably quite familiar to most of you. On administrative services, we mentioned in January that we were headed into some deficit spending for the first time in 9 years. Our income for administrative expenses has been more than adequate since 1964. And now for 1973, for the first time, we are deficit spending. And we anticipated at the beginning of the year that we would be running close to $14,000 in arrears. Now, as a result of the fundraising that has gone on, your giving and the giving of the staff throughout the states, as well as the stimulation that you have given to your contacts, we have increased our income for administrative costs by approximately $7,000 thus far this year. But something we didn't figure on was the fact that there have been so many demands for administrative services that our expenses have grown faster than we projected them. And so our actual deficit each month this year has been over $14,000. And that's taking into consideration that in the last few weeks we have increased that income considerably. But we have now accumulated a deficit of $63,000. And that's the first time now in 9 years that we've had anything like that in the way of a deficit. So we're actually in the red. $63,000. And it's not really a problem in my mind, but it's just a warning sign that we have reached the point where we've got to go to work on this. I think that organizations like the Navigators, who have been in business for a number of years, they feel that a major fund drive every 7 to 10 years is necessary to broaden the base and to get the income up to a higher giving level. And so we're now into our 9th year, and by the time we start our fund drive, it'll be 10 years since we had a major fund drive. And it may be that every 7 to 10 years we're going to have to do this in the Navigators. So anyway, at the DD conference at Glen Eyrie, April 24 and 25, we met with not only the DDs but some RDs, and we selected 11 things that we can do to increase gift income for the administrative expenses, or sometimes we call this where needed most. And so we are working on these 11 things. And hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be able to end the year in the black. That remains to be seen. On capital improvements, as you know, we are urgently in need of a new headquarters, an international headquarters. We're currently occupying space in various buildings on the Glen. And since we've postponed our capital fund drive, which was scheduled for about this time of year, this year, We postponed it now, which means we won't get into that new building for, it'll probably be February of 1975. And in order to accommodate the growth in the office during that time, we're going to go ahead and build the new shop building. At the present time, you may remember that the crews all work out of what they call the shop, and that's the old carriage house just adjacent to the castle. And we're going to move them out of there eventually and into a new location down where the barns are and to build a new shop maintenance area. And then that present carriage area will be reconverted into conference use. It can be a very beautiful area, and it'll be used for recreational and perhaps a coffee shop area. But we're going to go ahead and build that shop building, and then we'll use that for a year and a half for office space, and then when the new building is finished, we can move into that. On the Glen Area improvements, as you recall, we're thinking in terms of adding guest rooms, two new lodges with 15 rooms in each. We need to remodel the kitchen and so on. You've read these various items on here. If you have any questions on those, we can discuss that. Another need is the American staff overseas. Not only does their income just naturally fall off after they've been over there a year, 2 years, 3 years, their income often begins to just decrease maybe 5-10% a year. But in addition to that, there are really serious inflationary problems in various countries of the world, and many of them much worse than we're experiencing here in America. So that devaluates the buying power of all of our staff overseas. And then, of course, there was the devaluation of the dollar. So we want to see if we can't, during this fund drive, raise support for American staff members overseas who are considerably below budget. And the way we would do this, we would simply provide up-to-date information for all of us who are working in the fund drive. And as we call on people and we find out that they're giving to Bob Boardman or to somebody else, and they say, well, how is Bob's support? We would have that information. We'd say, well, thus far this year, he's running so many hundreds behind his budget. And they'd say, well, I've been interested in Bob for a number of years, and I think we'd like to increase our giving to him. That's the way we would go about raising support for American staff members overseas. Then on the area needs, all the workers in a given locality, for instance, if it was Madison, all the workers in the Madison area would know the needs of the area rep and whoever else is in that area that they want to raise support for. And when you call on people, you'll often find that some people are interested exclusively in the local area. They don't want to give overseas. They don't want to give to building projects. They want to give to the campus ministry or the layman's ministry or the servicemen's ministry in that locale. And so when we find that we're talking to that kind of a person during the fund drive, we'll encourage them to give locally, and in this way we can up the income for the local man. All right, on the objectives, we want to clearly communicate the vision, the objectives, and the worldwide plans of the Navigators to as many people as possible. And when you sit down and talk with people personally about the Navigator work and our long-range plans, it's amazing to see how excited and thrilled they get. Now, they may be people who have been on the Navigator mailing list for 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is, but they don't have it clearly in mind. But when you sit down with them and begin to share with them with the materials that you'll have in hand and that will have been prepared to help you do this, when you begin to share it with them, they really begin to get a hold of what we're talking about. And the personal contact, as you know, is what does this. So we want to communicate clearly with these people and get them excited about the Navigator ministry and our objectives for the future. And as a result of that, we want them to begin to pray more consistently for the work, and then, of course, to give. And the third objective is to increase income for area reps both in the United States and overseas. And the fourth, to subscribe some additional funds. And this may or may not be necessary, so we've left it blank. But we may have to subscribe some additional income for where needed most, or administrative services, as we're now calling it. It depends on how successful these 11 methods of increasing income are. If they're very successful, then we'll be in the clear and we won't subscribe money for administrative services. Our long-range thought here is that through the sale of materials and through our direct mail program, these two sources should provide sufficient funds for administrative services. And we want to work out of the situation that we're in now, where administrative services is heavily dependent on gift income. And this may take us 5 years, or it may take us longer, but we think that it's very possible that we can increase from the sale of materials and from income from direct mail sufficient income so that we not only stay up with the growth year by year, but we increase it percentage-wise so that it carries more and more of the load. And when I talk about direct mail, in my mind, I'm not thinking of people who are giving to you, but we're thinking of people who only give to the navigators when they get something in the mail that tells them about a need or a project. And last year, we received in excess of $100,000 from people like that. And we're trying to broaden that base. And we want to get to the place where we don't mail direct mail appeals to people who are supporting the staff. We're not there yet, but we're working toward it. And then, of course, to subscribe in cash and pledges, something in the way of $250,000 for capital improvements. And those capital improvements are mentioned on the preceding page. If you have questions on that, we can talk about it. Why don't we take a moment now and see if you have any questions on what we've covered thus far. Maybe something is still not clear and you'd like to ask a question on it. Yes?
Are the capital improvements in order of priority?
Can you hear the question? The question was, are the capital improvements listed according to priority? And the answer on that is not unless it just happens. Now let me look at the list. No, they are not in order of priority. And what we would... What? Right. You got that. The swimming pool is first. No, I'll tell you what's first. It's building a cabin over near Breckenridge ski area. It's called the Rocky Mountain Ski Fund. Okay, not in priority. Now, I'd say the priority would be number one, that office building, and then number two would be those rooms, because the conferences are growing, and more people are staying in motels during the summer months when they come to Glen Eyrie for a conference. They can't stay on the Glen. They have to go in town and stay at a motel, and so we're losing that profit. In fact, we have to pay for the motel rooms, and that costs us additional money. That increases the cost of running the conferences. So 30 additional rooms would help bring Glen... Well, it would just increase Glen Eyrie's earning power. Further questions? Yes?
Is there an administrative charge on overseas staff budget to help with the administrative costs?
The question was, is there an administrative charge on American staff serving overseas? And yes, there is. It's a 5% charge. And we have considered the possibility of a 5% charge straight across the board for our staff worldwide, all of our Americans. And if we went to this as a solution, it would provide sufficient income. But we would like to do that only as a last resort. If we had instituted that idea maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it wouldn't be so hard to go to be, you know, still involved with that. That might have been a good solution. But when you add that 5% to the fact that we've got to start paying Social Security, and then another payment, which starts next year, I think, for our staff benefits program, that's just too big a jump. It's almost a 15% increase. Let's see, there was another question.
Roddy, you're talking about phasing out the 40% discount on materials so that you'll be getting
We had discussed that, but I don't think we've made a policy on it. Gordon, can you update us on that? What?
We decided against it.
We decided against it, and so at the present time, we are not planning to discontinue the 40% on materials. The basic thought that we've had in the back of our minds for a number of months is that if we could get a marketing man to come to headquarters and take over the sale of materials and the promotion of this, that we could, along with all the new materials that I think we're going to be producing every year, along with that, with the new materials, and then with a marketing manager, a man with experience in the field of marketing, someone who knows how to survey and study the market, and then reach that market with proper advertising, we think that the sale of materials could jump considerably. What was our sale of materials last year, Gordon?
$411,000.
And I think our profit on that was...
$124,000.
Okay. Do you all know Gordon Adams? Excuse me, I should have introduced Gordon Adams sooner. Gordon, why don't you stand? Gordon is chaperoning me on this trip. And Gordon is our office services manager, and sometime later this year, probably at least by September, Gordon is going to be joining me, and we'll be working full-time at our fundraising program here in the U.S. Bob, did you want to comment further on this? Right.
With the right man in there and the right approach.
Yes. And the fact is that Brad is in touch with someone, and I think Jack has talked with him also, and perhaps others, a man who is highly salaried and also very experienced and has been very, very successful in this field. And the question, I think, has been put to him, would he be interested, would he feel that God was leading if he received an invitation to come and work with the navigators in this field, and he's given us a rather positive response. Further questions?
It seems that in presenting that, that it would be more clear to people if it's designated in that way. If not, well, where else does finances go that goes into that fund? And is there something that needs to clarify that?
Could you hear the comment and the question? You want it restated? The question was, where in under objectives, item number D, we talk about administrative services and international ministry fund, and we also refer this to this sometimes as where needed most. And is there a need to clarify how money is used that goes into where needed most? And the answer is yes. We do need to clarify this. And one step that we have in mind toward clarification would be to eliminate the title, Where Needed Most, and to simply designate the same account, either this way, Administrative Services, and then also this International Ministry Fund. We have to figure out some way to fund the International Ministry Fund. That fund has been funded in recent years through surplus funds that have come in for administrative expenses. Last year we gave $112,000 to various aspects of the Navigator work, mostly overseas, some of it here in the United States, to make up for budgets that were considerably below and to pay for projects. The Penn Staff Conference that is now underway needed a $40,000 subsidy. And because we didn't have any more money in the International Ministry Fund, we borrowed $40,000 from the bank. And we're putting two Navigator homes up for sale. They're practically paid for, but both of them, though we've had them some 20 years, are now in areas where there's sort of a decline in those neighborhoods, and the ministry in those areas have changed sufficiently so that we want another location, and we can sell those homes and probably realize $40,000 to $50,000 and still leave $5,000 or $10,000 in the area for a down payment on another location. So we hope to be able to pay back that loan. But international ministry funds have normally been surplus funds from administrative income or where needed most income. We have to figure out a new way to fund that account so we'll have money that we can give. Okay, let's proceed then. On our strategy, we think in terms of four basic thoughts here, the most important of which is prayer, and this is according to priority. Prayer is probably the most significant and important thing that we can do in reference to this fund drive. It was very evident in England in February that God, in a fantastic way, had prepared hearts. We went to Great Britain in February and we traveled throughout the country. Each week we started up in Glasgow, Scotland, and worked our way down with a different meeting in major cities, major ministry cities, until we got to London. And the British staff had never done anything like this. They'd never heard of anything like this. They felt rather reserved about the whole idea. They didn't feel that in Great Britain you could talk to people about their giving program. They didn't feel that you could sit down in their living room and have a conversation that was free and, spirit-led on the subject of a person's personal finances. And we gave them three training sessions, and then they made their appointments and made their calls, and it was very, very obvious that in a miraculous way, God had prepared hearts. First of all, He changed their attitudes. And by the end of the third training session, they were so excited about what they were going to do, they could hardly contain themselves. And that's mostly British people, very few Americans. They were really excited about it. And then we came back the third week, or the fourth week, we swung through there, and that week they had been making calls, and it almost seemed impossible, but they were even more excited after having made some calls. Well, I think that's a result of the prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to answer it. The people they called on had not known anything about the program until the call was made. And yet so many of them responded so positively. And they would say things like, well, why haven't you done this before? And it was just unbelievable. And I think in response to prayer, because the gang prayed all around the world and we had that half day of prayer sometime in February. Then the trained workforce to train our people to provide for them the kind of materials that will help them in their presentation and to teach them how to do this. The qualified prospects, of course, are the people on our mailing list and perhaps a few additional that we will add before we get into the program. But most of our prospects are very good prospects because the majority of them have been ministered to by the navigators. And then the idea of personal presentation, as we know, this is one of the strengths of our ministry, and it's an equally important strength in fundraising. Nothing is more significant or more important or more effective than the personal call. Any questions then on this section on strategy? Yes. 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 I do not have it in my mind. We have it recorded. It's on the computer. But I do not have those figures in mind. I can tell you that each month we process 8,000 to 9,000 gifts. Now that is a donation, 8,000 to 9,000 donations. And on one donation there might be 3 or 4 or 6 different designations to different staff members. So from that point of view, you might say, well, we have approximately 7,000 or 8,000 regular donors. About half the people on our mailing list are donors and the other half are non-donors, which is a pretty good percentage, although we want to increase it. The average gift, to the Navigator Work today is running $48.
That could be broken down and have 4 people, 5 people.
Possibly, but there's no way for me to say, without checking the records closely, just how much each designation is. But each of our donors gives an average amount of $48 a month, which is quite high. In Great Britain, I was surprised to discover that it was right at £9, almost £10, which would be close to $25. I thought that was excellent for Great Britain, considering their standard of living and their economy. Really excellent. Yes?
Have you discovered any peace in going from bringing a person from being a part-time or an occasional donor to a regular donor?
The question was, have we discovered any keys to bringing an occasional donor to the point where he is donating regularly? We try to do this with our direct mail program, and we've been able to interest a fairly large number of people in giving regularly to the Navigator work. Our mailing that went out April 19th, thus far, it looks to us like $4,000 to $5,000 a month will be pledged as a result of that mailing. So there's a situation where a lot of irregular donors and perhaps non-donors are making a pledge to the Navigators, which I think is very significant. So you can do this by making a need known and saying the thing that would help us the most is regular monthly contributions. I think personal cultivation and sharing with people, if you're talking now about a local situation, if you're able to sit down with people and share with them what is happening as a result of your ministry, if they get excited about it, they'll want to begin to invest regularly. But I think that we need to let them know that this is a need. And if they're sold on the work and they're not giving regularly, many of them want to do that. They want to know what will help the most. And when we let them know what will help the most, then that's what they do. So I think basically it's information and communicating with the donor. Yes? Right. Yes.
How much of the Navigator giving is made up of Navigator staff giving to other staff? In other words, money that's kind of being taken out.
It's been a year and a half since we took a look at that, Tim, and I can't recall the percentage, but it is not a particularly large percentage. I think that we anticipate $5 million or more in gift income this year in American money, and a pretty small percentage of that is represented in Navigator staff members giving to other staff members. Rather insignificant in terms of percentage. Significant in terms of the total amount. You could build two or three ski lodges with that. Bob?
Point two on page five of updating the mailing list.
Yes.
Is that something new, and how do we go about doing that, like measuring the active interest?
We have been doing this now for several years, and the way we do this is that if we have not heard from that individual in any way, if we have no record that they have given a donation, and if we have no record that they have attended a conference or ordered materials, then we assume that their interest in the Navigators is questionable. And then we send out a letter, and we say in the letter we explain the situation, that we realize that they receive lots of literature from various organizations, and that they're interested, as we are, in seeing the Lord's money used as efficiently as possible, and then we ask them to return the enclosed card if they want to continue to receive the log.
Rod, do we currently have a screening
under the point there are qualified prospects that will prevent people being added to the mailing list that are already on the mailing list when we send in these conference bundles?
The question is, do we have a screening process so that we do not duplicate names when they are added to the mailing list? And the answer is yes. We have to take every name that is given to us from the conferences or from any other source, and we have to double-check our mailing list to make sure that that name is not on that list. Now, there's lots of human error involved in this. For instance, if a man's name is Robert McNamara, and someone sends, and that's the way he's listed there, and then someone sends in the name Bob McNamara, that name can get added. And we find that this kind of human error often takes place. And one of the problems in this field, I think, is the fact that we're understaffed.
Could we help out by doing that if we could do part of that in the area right now rather than send it to the Glen as already checked?
Would you have some kind of list? You mean if we sent you a list of all the names on the mailing list in your area?
I have a current flat list.
Yeah. Yes, that would help. That would save a lot of time. Be very helpful. Did you get the question? Could you hear Bob's suggestion and question? Huh?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
By putting on the conference registration card a little question with a place in the check if they're currently on the NAV mailing list.
Yes, that's a good idea. If people would indicate that they were already on the mailing list when they turn in their name and address, or when they register, would that be it?
Right, on the registration card.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be a helpful thing, if the individual would indicate on the registration card that he's already on the mailing list. Further questions on this section? Harv? Could you hear the question over here?
Yes.
Okay. We do not have a breakdown on it. We could get it. But I don't think that it's necessary for us to tell prospective donors or occasional donors what our average gift is. That's something that is sort of in-house information. It's interesting to us. We can see that over the years it's gone from $12 up to $48. And other organizations might say to us, how much is your average gift? Our average is so-and-so. But it's not the kind of information that we would share with our donors unless for some reason they asked us. Now, occasionally they will because they're associated, they have interests in and are associated with other Christian organizations. They help other organizations raise money. They know how those organizations function, what their average is, and so on. And so that information becomes of interest to that type of person. But I think that when we make our needs known, that we should simply present the work, the objectives, the challenge, and then ask the individuals that we're talking to prayerfully consider what they feel the Lord would have them do. We can figure this out, Harv. If this would be helpful information, we can figure out, and Gordon is making notes on this, what the average gift is from the collegian, what it is from the serviceman, and then from the businessman.
Of his
position financially. And that would help, I think, in our interviews with these people as to what we might encourage them to do.
All right. Good. Thank you, Harv. Further suggestions or questions?
On page 6, while no other method is as time-consuming and manual, yet no other method is as productive, does that imply that there are other methods under consideration for PR and fundraising?
No, it doesn't imply that we have other methods in mind. We feel that this is the most effective method that we could employ, and we feel that it is, you might say, homogeneous with the Navigators, because our basic thrust is on a person-to-person level. Therefore, when we transfer that into the area of fundraising, we're at home in that field. Yes, I think there are. I think that Campus Crusade has done quite an effective job in soliciting funds and raising money for their staff. And if you have Campus Crusade people in your area and want to pick their brains, I think you'll get some good ideas and some good thoughts from them. They require, as you know, all of their staff to raise their salary. And if one of us wanted to go with Campus Crusade, they'd probably say, okay, here's your budget. This is how much money you have to come. And after you get that raise, then you come back to us. Well, they will give that individual some guidelines, some ideas, some things to do, some things not to do. And then when they got their money raised, as I understand it, they come back and they say, okay, I've got my budget. Now where do I go? Well, they may send him to North Carolina or to Wisconsin or to the headquarters. And their headquarters staff get assigned there. When a person is ready for assignment, they could end up anywhere, including headquarters. But they've done quite an effective job in raising support. Paul? Paul, one of the 11 things that was decided in April was that the headquarters staff would raise as much of their support as possible. And we are working on this at the present time. We don't plan to send the individuals out to do personal fundraising, but they are in the process now of compiling a list of all the people that they can think of who might possibly contribute toward their support. We've encouraged them to sit down and prayerfully make a list of everyone they can think of, relatives, friends, old schoolmates, people in Sunday school classes, their teacher, whatever it might have been, old mailing list, old Xmas Christmas card lists. And they're compiling the list, and we have a two-page letter that we're going to be sending out in their behalf, asking those friends to contribute toward their support. This is one of the 11 things that we're working on. I brought copies of that letter with me so that some of you could look at it and give us any additional thoughts that you might have for us on that. You see it from an area person's point of view, and some of you have done that kind of fundraising. I know that Bob Sheffield was saying it had worked exceptionally well for his secretary. So we brought copies for Bob to look at and any others of you who want to see it. Well, it's probably a combination, Paul. I've thought about it, too, and I think one of the reasons is that Campus Crusade has just overnight, you know, just become so well known across the country. And when you read their literature, it is always pitched on a very high level. And this kind of communications will excite people. And I think that they are exciting men of this caliber as a result of the kind of thing that they do, like Explo. I think they also aim at that type of individual. And this is something we have never done. So we had a national fund drive in 1963 and 64, and we raised our goal. It was $5,670,000. And then what did we do? We wrapped it all up and put it in the files. And we have not had anybody working full-time on fundraising for 9 years. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we don't attract that kind of giving. And then you also have to, I think, consider that, I think there are just a lot of factors that enter into this. But I think that we can look for this kind of donor and begin to cultivate them and look to the Lord to enable us to get sizable gifts. I think maybe another factor is just the factor of necessity. We haven't had the pressure on us to do that type of thing, and therefore we've given ourselves to other things. Yes? The question is, will this raise the publicity factor of the navigators? And it will. It definitely will. You'll find that as you're out stimulating interest and making contacts, that people get excited about it and they want you to share at their church, or they want you to share with a Bible study group or with their Christian friends the vision of the work and so on. Yes, it'll have a definite influence from that point of view. The question is, are we trying to become better known? Are we going to have a better PR program? And I would say that we are talking about it. We don't have specific plans to move in this direction. We don't have any money budgeted for it. But I think as we bring men into the organization with this kind of a background, that this is inevitably going to happen. And as you may or may not know, we have a man joining the staff late this summer who has his PhD in the field of communications, and he will be, as a result, in charge of this kind of a program. So I think we're going to begin to feel the result of his leadership and his background and training and knowledge. Now, the question was, what effect will it have on our giving as we move in phase three and with the churches? I think that it simply will broaden the base of our support. I think it very possibly will eventually increase the size of the donation, the average gift, because the businessman, of course, has greater income than a man in the service or a man on the campus. And I think that it's going to broaden our base, increase our income, and probably increase the size of our giving. We also want to do something in this field, churches. I'm told by various individuals on our staff from out in the areas that they have churches in their area who have lots of money. They have it in boxes in the basement. They've never even opened it. And they're looking for places to give it. Well, if that's true, we want to find out how to open those boxes. And this may be one of the things that Gordon will concentrate on, discovering how we can present the navigator work in church situations to interest those churches in supporting the work. We think this is a field that we don't know anything about, but that it's there and it ought to be developed. Pardon, Jim? The question is, how's the planned giving program coming? Planned giving is a department that we started in the Navigators 3 years ago this coming summer. And John Watts and his secretary are the two people in the department thus far. And planned giving has to do with wills, trusts, annuities, estate planning, That type of thing. And thus far, in the last 2.5 years, John has written about $1 million in business. And by that I mean contracts where property is being left to the navigators in trust until, let's say, the donors die, the man and his wife. As soon as they pass away, then that property becomes navigator property. And so we are working with these donors and interesting them in this kind of donation. What it means is that they put their property in trust to the navigators, and then in return they receive so much income every month for as long as they live. And then when they pass on, the property becomes navigator property. And we've written about $1 million in trusts and annuities and so on since, and wills, since John began to work in this field. And I think we felt that it would take us 3 years to reach the break-even point. I think we're doing better than our projection. And we're now looking for additional personnel for that department. And we have one or two people on the staff who are interested in this phase of the ministry. And we're looking to the Lord now to show us whether or not this is the direction He wants us to move. But the plan giving program is coming along quite well. We're very encouraged with it. The plan giving program, incidentally, is going to provide funds for the International Ministry Fund eventually, and also for the staff benefits program. When I talk about staff benefits, I'm talking about the need to support navigators who become ill or are impaired in some way in their physical ability to function. We have some staff members like this at the present time. And it's amazing how much money that takes. I think of one person that just subsidizing their income month after month for a period of time has totaled over $20,000. And we feel that that's our responsibility. And we're trying to provide a resource, sort of a reserve of funds that can be used for staff benefits and, of course, staff retirement. The day will come when some of us may have to retire. And we feel like it's our job, our generation ought to provide for our retirement, if there's going to be any at all for us. We shouldn't look to the next generation to provide for that. And then, of course, in the case of a death of a navigator staff member, there's that wife and the kids, they need to be taken care of. Staff benefits provides for that kind of a situation as well. Okay, back to the fundraising program. What further questions do we have on this section? Yes? The question was, when we make our presentation during this fund drive to our prospects, will we present ourselves primarily as an American organization, or will we present ourselves as a multinational organization? And I think that we will present ourselves as, in fact, what we are and what we want to become. And because that is so much a part of what we want to become, the multinational aspect, I think that this will be an important part of the presentation. Hi. Well, let me pick up Lauren's comment here, and he said, are we going to try to wipe out our $63,000 deficit by the end of the year? The answer is yes. Sani has said, let's end the year in the black. Secondly, he said, could we do this by having a work day? And on campuses and on bases and in communities all across the United States, could all of our people, I think this is what you're saying, go to work and have what, car washes or hike, get support for a 20-mile hike, that type of thing. I think that's a neat idea. I'll come and help wash cars, or I'll go on a 20-mile hike with you or whatever. I think that's a good possibility. If we can't end the year in the black any other way, through normal giving, then that might be something that the Lord would lead us to do. I'd certainly be open to it. Okay, Lauren is questioning the need for a $40,000 grant to the Pan Staff Conference, and he wonders why they couldn't raise that money out there, because here he knows of an area where they raised $5,000 in almost, you know, no effort in an area, and so that's the question. Lauren, I think there's good rationale. I believe that this $40,000 grant was in fact necessary. And one of the reasons is that so many of the people attending the staff conference at Penang are from third world countries, and their economies are so low that most of that money is going to subsidize their travel. And some of them are traveling from places like Korea and so on, and it's relatively expensive. Now, if there's a better way to finance those staff conferences and to do it from, say, Asia or the Pan area, then we need to learn that. And maybe we will. We're going to be having a national fund drive in New Zealand and in Australia next year. And we're also going to be working on this in Singapore in July. I'll be in Singapore, and we'll be analyzing the situation there to see what can be done there. And it may be that we're not doing all that we can, but from Scotty's point of view, he feels that they have done everything that they possibly could. They've raised as much money as they possibly could for the staff conferences. Some of the staff have been setting so much aside every month out of their budgets. So, you know, if he says they've done everything they could do, then I can't argue that point. He knows the situation better than I. On the other hand, I'm also aware of the fact that maybe we can learn to do more than we're doing now. And that's part of my job, to help discover what that is and to help broaden the base of financial support on a worldwide basis. Okay, good. Further questions or comments? Yes. Is there a way to take Navigator funds and invest them and then use that investment? And yes, any funds that we have that can be invested in this way are invested. For instance, we have a certain amount of money that we call float at the bank. And we take that float and we invest it so that we earn as much as we possibly can from money that is really designated for something else but isn't currently being used. We make sure that every possible cent is invested and earning as much as we possibly can, and that is Jim Downing's job. And we have a finance committee that works on the investments, and then we analyze the results annually. And so far, the last two or three years since we've been really working at this, we've done quite a good job. I haven't, but those who have been involved in it have done quite a good job at it. Right. When you have a staff all over the United States like we do, and some of them are putting aside some money every month for a car, and their income goes into that bank during the month, and then at the end of the month it comes out and goes to them. Well, during the time that it's in there, it's not working. So we transfer it out and put it in to a short-term savings account situation where it's earning interest. And that amounts to quite a few thousand dollars. I don't recall, Gordon, to you what the float is. I think the float runs somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000. So you can earn a little interest with $40,000, even at a measly 5 or 6%.
Is that interest then used for
Yes, it is. Right. Yes. We're averaging 8 to 10% on our investments. I'm not positive of the exact percentage. I should know that, but I don't. But it's right in there somewhere. It might be as low as 8, and it might be as high as 10. I think the balance of this presentation here on organization and the materials, this is probably pretty clear without explanation, so why don't we just see if anybody has any questions on this final section, section 4 on organization. Yes?
Page 8, part B, it talks about essential information.
Yes.
How will that information be obtained?
We will provide prospect cards for every area. For instance, if you're in, say, the state of Wisconsin, and you operate out of whatever it is, Green Lake or whatever, we would send to the area representative for that area a list of all the prospect cards, all the donors that we have, as well as the non-donors. And in addition to the person's name and address, you would have some coding that would tell you approximately what they give and to whom they give, whether they give to U.S. staff or overseas staff or administrative services. There would be coding on here that you would understand. It would not disclose what we would consider to be personal information. It's not going to say he gave $10 on such and such a date to so-and-so. It's not going to spell it out in that much detail, but it'll give you enough information so that you know generally where the interest of your donor lies and generally where his giving category is, $10 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month, or whatever. Well, I think that's a very good point, and Gordon, make a note of this, that we don't have any way of tabbing parents, and it may be that before we start this program, we ought to find out from all of you, all of our staff all over the United States, who your parents are and have a special coding for those. Years ago, I remember one of our flock fleecing team, it was Ray Ho and somebody else, or I don't know. No, it wasn't Ray, but maybe it was Bob. But I remember this team called on someone. Oh, I remember who it was. It was they called on Bob Foster's father and mother. And at that time, Bob Foster was the vice president of the Navigators. And so they made their presentation, you know, and talked about the Navigators. And they didn't have the slightest idea that this was Bob Foster's parents. So from a PR point of view, that was that shot was heard around the world. Okay. Yes.
What I recommend is we make new friends or contacts that maybe we send their names in that they receive the NAV log. Would that be possible?
Yes, it would be. The question was, as we make new friends and contacts, would it help if we sent their name and address in to be added to the NAV log? And I would say yes. That's what we want to do. I think the log ministers to people, as it never has. We get a tremendous amount of correspondence from people who are receiving the log telling us how much they appreciate it, and I think it's having a very significant ministry. You'd know better than I do, probably, but I think it's something that people really enjoy and get help from.
Are donors automatically put on the name of the log list?
The question was, are donors automatically put on the log list, and the answer is yes. Let's see. Hands?
Do we accept gifts from non-Christians?
Question is, do we accept gifts from non-Christians? How about that? Do you? You bet. As Moody said, it's been in Satan's hands long enough. Did you see the Billy Graham direct mail letter that went out some months ago, and in it he quoted Moody? I guess the issue had apparently come to their attention. Why didn't they just live by faith? And somebody asked Moody one day, he said, why don't you just operate by faith? And Moody says, that's exactly what I do. You show me someone with money, and I'll show you that I've got the faith to ask them for it. And you know, that does take faith. It takes faith and courage and prayer if you do it right, if you do it in the Spirit. It takes faith. Yes, the question is, in approaching churches, couldn't we show a film strip or a movie about the Navigator work as opposed to personal presentation? And yes, this is something we can do. And any time you can make a presentation to a church and share what the Lord is doing through the Navigator ministry, they're usually interested in the local outreach of the Navigators. Anytime you do that, I think it's constructive and helpful, and it'll prove a blessing to that church whether they turn around and support the Navigator work or not. But yes, when it comes to churches, then that's not necessarily a personal presentation. Sometimes it'll become personal because you'll be sitting down with the pastor or one of the men on the finance committee, and they'll be wanting to know about the Navigators, or they may even ask you to present the Navigator work to the church or the finance committee. And that's a great opportunity. The way there is for what?
The Northern Division.
Right. Well, if the Northern Division movie is broad enough in its scope, then that objective is fulfilled. We haven't done it because on one occasion we went as far as having the script written. And we went to professional people to do this, and they wrote the script. They came to the Glen. They stayed there for 2 or 3 weeks. They got excited about the Navigator work. They wrote their script and gave it to us as the first step in the production of a movie. And when we read the script, we just put it in the file and forgot the project. I mean, it just wasn't what we wanted at all. None of us would have been satisfied with it. And this was an outfit in the East who theoretically could do this kind of a job. And so we felt a bit stymied in trying to get something done that we felt was really great. Yes?
If we have a church that's interested in a presentation, is there some online materials or information that we can get from headquarters to help in the presentation?
The only materials that headquarters has to help with a church presentation would be various brochures on summer conferences, or the brochure on the Navigators, the film strip on Singapore, and so on. That's all we have at the present time. And we need much more in the way of public information materials, brochures, film strips, and movies. And I hope that when Bill Threlkall comes, that he'll be able to help give us some leadership in this area so that we can have adequate information, adequate materials to inform people about the Navigator work. Well, very possibly a brochure on the Navigator objectives to share with people would be helpful. What further comments on this program or ideas do you feel like you'd like to share? Any aspect of it? Yes.
I believe there were several that were over $500 per month into their budget.
Yes.
And I wondered according to your schedule, it looks like until next January, before this really gets underway, full swing, if there's any immediate plan before January 1 of fulfilling those needs.
We are waiting for the divisional directors to inform us of any that really get critical. And then if they are, we'll have to figure out some way of helping them. Normally we would have funds available that we could transfer into their account, but now with the shortage of funds in the international ministry account, we're not in a position to do that unless we borrow money. But some of the people overseas are still receiving a surplus, and so the overseas divisional directors are watching are working with their people with surpluses, and they are helping one another to an extent. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Rod, another resource we haven't tried yet is in schools, all your colleges usually have a general services fee that students are charged. And a lot of campuses were a recognized organization. I want to try and see the possibility of getting funds from that. I know that they fund all the different campus organizations, so that's a possibility on all our campuses.
Okay. Could you hear that back here? Would you stand up and explain that so the gang back here could hear it?
On a campus, normally, there's a certain amount charged. It's a student service fee. Every student has to pay it. And the student government delegates out that money during the year to the different activities that are recognized campus activities. We haven't done it in Maryland, but I'm going to check on that, the possibility of getting some of that money that our kids are helping to pay in. We have, like, the Homosexual Society of Maryland gets $5,000 to $10,000 of that money for speakers and stuff like that. There's no reason why we shouldn't.
Okay. Warren?
What happens as far as the timetable between now and when this program is underway? What are some of the activities? When will it come to our areas?
The question is, what's the timetable between now and the time that this program comes to your area, and what are some of the activities? We have mentioned some of these on page 10. Item number 4, getting a grassroots reaction. This is what we're going to be doing this summer. It's what we're doing here today. And Gordon and I will be around part of the day tomorrow, and we'd like to talk with you. We'd like to hear your ideas or further suggestions that come to your mind that you'd like to share with us. We'll be doing this with the Southern Division and also with the Western Division. Then we want to get some board approval on the overall program, the general overall program, and we have a semi-annual board meeting coming up June 30th. Then we'll work on the production of materials between now and January, and we want to produce these various materials that are mentioned on the preceding pages, and that's about all we'll do. We'll probably do some personal cultivation of foundations. We're working on that right now. Have a directory of all the foundations in America who report to the IRS, and out of that, we've identified 900 foundations that possibly would be interested in the Navigators. We plan to send them a letter of inquiry to find out if we can stimulate any interest, and if we can get a maybe 10% response on that, then we'll begin to work with those foundations as prospective new donors to the work. We'll probably call on some donors between now and the end of the year who are not staff-related, but they're businessmen in various parts of the country who are not a part of a local ministry, yet they know of the Navigator work and they're interested in it. We want to get out and see some of these, especially those who give in terms of $500 and $1,000, not to ask them for money, but just to bring them up to date with the work, share with them what our plans are, and simply have a public relations meeting with them. And that would be cultivation toward the time when we would come back next year to present the needs of the work financially. So this will be taking place between now and January. And then in January, we're tentatively thinking of doing this decade of development program in the Rocky Mountain region. And this would give us sort of an experimental program in that region where we could use our materials, discover anything that we've overlooked, perhaps even redo some of the materials if necessary, but it would give us an up-to-date experience factor. And during that time, we might bring in some of the men who we want to use for trainers so that they could be involved with us in that January program in the Rocky Mountain region. Then beginning in February, we would start our training sessions in the Southern Division. and it would take us a couple weeks to complete the training sessions, and then immediately after the training sessions, the workers in the Southern Division would start their calling. And it'll probably take them, oh, probably 3 to 4 weeks to complete their calling. Now, the first 2 weeks during the training session, that only takes one night a week for the people involved in the training. It'll take the trainer 5 or 6 or 7 nights a week. But for all the workers, just one night a week. Then when we kick off the program in the respective areas, they'll be busy every evening, probably for 3 to 4 weeks. And then the Western Division, we'll start our training programs there on the 15th of February, and in the Northern Division, hopefully by March, the weather will be a little more milder in the Northern Division, and we'll get started in the Northern Division around the 1st of March. And we'll have locations in various parts of the Northern Division where the workers will be gathered in groups, hopefully of not more than 30, although in some situations it's obvious that the group will have to be larger, but we'd like to train the workers in groups of about 30 or less. And then after their training sessions are over, then they will begin to make appointments and call on prospects. The question is, do we have qualifications for workers? And we're leaving this up to the area reps and the RDs to decide who of their, well, we'd say down to the level of disciple maker, who of their people they would feel comfortable having represent the navigator work. We do not have qualifications in writing, but we simply leave this up to the area man. If he feels that he's got a half a dozen or a dozen men and women in his area who he feels could adequately take the brochure and make the presentation, then we'll go with his judgment. We use the term disciple maker level as here again, it's just a general term. We know also that there are in some areas people who are not disciple makers yet, perhaps even businessmen, but they could do a very adequate job representing the navigators. So it's not limited just to the level of disciple maker, but for the most part, I think that our workers will be from that level on up.
Those of us who are already involved in fundraising, how should our fundraising activities be coordinated with what you plan for next year?
Well, I think anything that you need to do between now and then, you'll just have to go ahead and do, and we're not going to try to coordinate it that much. But during the time of our intensive calling, then I think everybody in the region should be involved in that. Could you hear the question? Okay. The answer to it is yes. The area man will have control of whatever takes place in his area. He will have the prospect cards. He will have an opportunity to go through those. And if there are some names in that prospect list that he feels should not be called on, he can pull the card. And as long as he hangs on to it, nobody will call on that individual because we won't be calling on anyone unless we have their card. That's the point of control.
Are you going to be coming up with a notebook for the presentation?
Yes, we will be producing a brochure for the presentation, and we'll also be producing a manual that will give you instructions. It'll be a condensed version of the instructions that you receive in your training sessions so that you will, I think, you'll be very well equipped to do the kind of job that you're going to be called on to do. Do you have a meeting at 3, Harv?
3:30.
Well, let's take one or two more questions, and then I think we probably better wrap it up so you can have a bit of a break before that 3:30 meeting. Yes.
Do you have a plan to contact every navigator donor in 10 years and do it all next year?
Now, the question is, does our plan call for contacting every navigator donor over a long-range period, like 10 years, or do we plan to do it all next year? We can't call on all of our donors in any one given year. For one reason, some of these donors are in remote areas, remote by means, by virtue of the fact that they are not located near a ministry center. And so there are donors that we will not call on personally, even within 10 years. Any last suggestion for the program or question? Or if you want to come up to Gordon or myself later and chew the fat with us over something, well, we'd be glad to have you do that. We want to encourage you to pray and ask that the Lord would give us clear guidance as we go about the development of the materials and as we finalize our plans. Appreciate your suggestions today, and Gordon has been sitting back here noting them and writing down all of the suggestions and questions that have been asked. Okay, Harv?